Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. The Reverend Dr. Stephen Hokana is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The reading appointed for today is recorded in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning at the 15th verse. When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who'd been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city. Bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is no room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my banquet.' O Lord, have mercy upon us."
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Banquets in Scripture are intentional events. They don't accidentally happen. They highlight the wondrous things God has done in one's life. Kill the fatted calf. The wayward son has returned. Angels are among you, and as Abraham did, prepare a banquet. The Passover of the Lord. Some banquets in Scripture are political, with only the powerful invited. And we read in Mark chapter 6, but an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. And we know how things unfolded, leading to the death of the sainted John the Baptizer. Like you, I have attended numerous wedding banquets, graduation banquets, coming of age banquets instead of birthdays. Like you, I have attended a they are home from the hospital after a very serious near-death banquet. My grandpa had at least 3 of those. We've been to celebratory banquets, mostly weddings, retirements, housewarmings. They're way cool. The parable of the banquet told by Jesus is no different. We don't know the reason for this banquet, perhaps a wedding, a loved one home from war, a child lost in sin now restored. We know he was throwing the banquet, and it was going to be a soiree that folks would talk about for years. He desired to bring out the celebration beyond the sphere of his own inner joy. He wanted to share. Imagine, if you will, the excitement in his heart. Jesus paints this man as a person of wealth, a man of influence. And so the stage is set. This banquet was thrown by one of the most great and wealthy, so Jesus paints this picture. But he doesn't want to reveal too much about the person, enough to keep us engaged in the parable. The complete invitee list is not really known, but Jesus gives us a sample: friends, family, rich neighbors, like-minded people with a secondary purpose of an invite in return, and then you're repaid. Now we find a twist. Those requested to attend are wealthy and insolent, completely comfortable in their hubris, well off with overbearing pride, arrogant in their presumption. This parable is not an indictment against wealth. Affluence is not a sin. Many people of means do not see themselves as wealthy. They want to be known for their innovativeness, their energy, their desire and passion. As the parable unfolds, Jesus asks us to push aside visions of a banquet, the opulent hall, perhaps the chocolate fountain and hors d'oeuvres piled high. Jesus asks us to ignore the chamber orchestra playing Mozart, men in fine tuxedos, women with their formal gowns and affluent jewelry. Ignore the menu, ignore the exclusive wine list, and expensive party favors at each place setting, which I understand now is the latest show of opulence if you want to make your neighbors jealous. This is what makes a parable, this parable, so awesome and timeless. It has a singular theme, the receptive love of Christ, forgiving the sins of all people, all along the social strata, and all along economic sections of life. And this is accomplished by his death and the shedding of his blood on the cross. We don't cooperate, and we receive this gift of life through faith. It is for all, broken men and women, crushed by sin, the full force of the law bearing down, those so burdened they literally cannot breathe and desperately seek redemption. It is Christ who calls those who are literally the personification of the hymn, "Rock of Ages, cleft with me," where the writer says, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die." Now, this parable has multiple storytelling twists. The focus first is on the host, great and powerful, and then on the invited. Jesus shifts to their excuse for non-attending. This causes the problem in this parable. I suppose you can send your regrets, but to say I bought a field and have to check it out? I acquired 5 yoke of oxen? I think the modern equivalent is a status symbol, perhaps maybe a Bentley or a Maserati, something with power and makes the hearer envious. I have married a wife, as such I cannot come. Self-aggrandizement while sanctimoniously refusing. Their regrets are an insult to the host of the banquet. And hear it from this perspective. I can't attend. I bought some property. No one buys property without checking it out, transmitting he is better and wealthier than the banquet giver, because he's saying, I'm so wealthy, I do this thing sight unseen. And if it doesn't work out, well, then okay. Or, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I bought something cool, something strong, something useful. Well, I have to look at it. And of course, who wants the accusation of getting between a married couple? Makes you feel like you should not have asked any of them to show up at your banquet. Jesus wants us to know this banquet is not just a short-term event, a real blowout, so to speak, but rather a transforming calling of the lost, which leads to salvation for all. The self-proclaimed and self-righteous are pushed to the side, and those fractured and brokenhearted, those hurt and marginalized and trivialized by society, those who sit by the road as non-participants are now the guests of honor. This parable is about the child of God redeemed under the umbrella of Christ. The uninvited, now the guests of honor. It is a wonderful thing once to be on the outs and now a partaker of the feast. And now this story shifts to us and celebrations and banquets. Those comfortable with God may not be so comfortable. God does not want us to be comfortable. The Lord wants us to be confident, to rest with assurance, even in our frail humanity. He loves us. Jesus in this parable wants us to know He does the inviting, and all are invited. Consider the act of the servant. That is you. That is me. As baptized children of God, we are called to enter with urgency the streets and the towns, rural and urban, the homes, the barracks, the ships, prisons, hospitals, and proclaim the invitation to this eternal banquet. And we do this through the Holy Spirit, and we move out accordingly. We ask this in His holy and precious name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.